Okay, so let's begin the Chof Dalet Omid base. The right at the bottom. Two lines from the bottom says the Gemara. Omar Rav Huna. Oiso talis chaguroloi al mosno. If his talis was tied up. Talis, as we've mentioned in the past, doesn't mean what we call talis, just means a beged. Chaguroloi al mosnov, it was tied around al mosnov, his waist, or his loins, his waist. Muta likrois kriyashma, it is permissible for him to recite kriyashma. So look at the bottom, Rashi explains. Oiso talisoi chaguro al mosnov lechasoisoi. The beged is covering him. Mimosnov ulamato, from his waist and downwards. Afalpi, even though shemimosnov ulamalo, even though from his waist upwards, hu orum, he is unclothed. Nonetheless, comma, nonetheless, koire kriya shema. So now, let's just remind ourselves, we learned already last week. We learned already last week that there is an issa to recite Kriya Shema either in a state of being unclothed or in a state where you could see with your eyes the erva, or it was a machlokes, but this is where we paskin, if your lave can see the erva. There is no barrier between the lave and the erva. In this particular case, l'chayra, none of those issues are problematic. He is completely covered from his waist downwards. He is not, however, covered from his waist upwards. But he is, however, covered from his waist downwards. Now, that means neither is he unclothed, nor can he see the erva, nor can the lave see the erva, because there is a barrier, because he's got this talus, this beged, from his waist downwards. So therefore, none of the three issues that we just mentioned are problematic. He is clothed, the erva is not visible, neither, and also the lave and the erva, there is a barrier between the two. So if that's the case, there should l'chayra be no problem. And indeed, the Gemara says, it is mutter to recite Kriya Shema. Says the Gemara, the bottom line, Tanya Nami Hochi, so too we have learned in a Braisa, Hoisa Talisoi shall beged. If he was wearing a talus made out of beged, made out of material, wool, Vishal oir, or leather, Vishal sack, or out of sackcloth, Chaguro al Mosnov, it is being worn by his waist and downwards. Muta likrois kriya shema. He is allowed to recite kriya shema. So exactly what Rav Huna taught us, that is the way that it appears in the Braisa as well. So we have a supporting Braisa for Rav Huna's statement. As we turn over the page, the Gemara then says, that is all with regard to kriya shema. Avol, not so litfilon. When it comes to tefillah, ad sheyechase es liboy, until he covers his heart. Now, why must he cover his heart whilst davening? It cannot be because you need to provide a barrier between the erva and the lave, because there is one already. So why must you cover the heart, and why is it only for tefillah? So look at the top Rashi. Achi chase es liboy avol l'tfilo, says Rashi, the top Rashi, avol l'tfilo. Very, 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 very critical Rashi. Tzorich hu laharois es atzmoy. He needs to show himself, to display ka'oymeid lifnei hamelech, as if he is standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'lamoid be'eimo, and to stand with awe. It is not considered respectful to be standing only half dressed. So even though we don't have any issues of erva, his erva is covered, there is a barrier between the lev and the erva, but the very fact that the upper part of his body is not dressed, not covered, that can hardly be considered to be oimed bifnei hamelech. That's not the way that anybody would stand in front of the king. Aval kriya shema einoi medaber lifnei hamelech. But kriya shema, one is not talking in front of the king. This Rashi is an enormous Rashi. Those of you who are with us for our Tfilah Vaad series, you might well remember this is one of the first Yesodos that we ever discussed. The fundamental distinction between Kriya Shema and Tfilah. Kriya Shema is not addressing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is a declaration. I'm hereby Mekabel El Malchus Shamayim. I'm hereby Mekabel Torah or Mitzvahs. But it's not, as it were, an address or a conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Masha Enkin, when it comes to Shmoyne Esra, that's a different story. Shmoyne Esra, you are in fact talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you make a declaration, as in the case of Kriya Shema, you're not in fact talking to anybody, maybe to yourself, but you're not addressing anybody. So therefore, even though it's true, one cannot say Dvorim Shabik Kedusha if there is an Erva visible. But this particular requirement of being oimed bifnei hamelech does not apply in the case of Kriya Shema. It does, however, apply in the case of Shmoyne Esra. And for that reason, one has to be dressed appropriately. Beyond the requirements of Erva, there is an additional requirement to be standing respectfully dressed. And that is only if the upper part of his body is covered appropriately. Therefore, if he has a beged, which is covering himself from his waist down. So even though he's allowed to say Dvorim Shabbat Kedusha, like Kriya Shema, but he cannot daven because that is not Oymeid Bifnei HaMelech. Which is a very, very, very important halacha. Now, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, if you have a Mishabura, Chelek Aleph in front of you, you'll see that this is referred to in two different places, as you'd expect, in Kriya Shema and in Tfilah. So in Kriya Shema, it appears in Siman Ayin Dalet 74. Ayin Dalet, the very last Sif, which is Sif Vav. You'll remember, if you turn just for a moment to the beginning of that simon, look in Sif Aleph. We learned this already on one occasion. Hoya Yoshein Orum Betalisoi. If a person is sleeping unclothed, he's just got a blanket over him. Sarich Lochutz. Lochutz from the word Chatzitza. He has to make a barrier, as it were, a divider. Betalis Al Liboy. Why does he have to do that? V'oz yikro, and only then recite Kriya Shema mishum de liboy roya eso erva. Awesome. Because if the lev can see the erva, there has to be some division, a chatzitza between the lev and the erva. That's what we saw in Sif Aleph. Now turn to Sif Vav. The very last sif, and that is the halacha that we just now learned. Hoysa talisoi chagura al mosnov. If his talis, his beged, was tied around his waist, lechasoisoi mimosnov ulamato, which is now covering his waist and downwards, afal pisha mimosnov ulamalo uorum, even though from the waist upwards he is unclothed, Muta likrois kriyas shema. He is allowed, on the one hand, to recite kriyas shema, avalei spalel is asur. When it comes to davening, that's also ad shi'chaser liboy. Why so? As we just mentioned, because you have to be oimed b'fnei ha'melech. Look in the Mishnah Brura. Look in Chof Beis, Mishnah Brura, Chof Beis, 22. Aval pi, even though the upper part of his body is not covered, it's okay. What does that mean, it's okay? Does that mean that that is the appropriate way to say Kriyat Shema? Or is it okay if you did it b'di'evet? Says the Mishnah Brura, b'mokoy matchak. What does b'mokoy matchak mean? Like b'shas hatchak, meaning in extenuating circumstances. D'ilav hochi, because if not so, ein nochoin lechatchila. This is definitely not correct lechatchila. Lasois came to do so, afilu be'ez a bracha. Even if you were merely saying a bracha, the kol shekein, the kriya shema. So the Mishnah Brura tells us a very important halacha, that even though the Gemara says that one can recite kriya shema when the bottom half of the guf is covered, the second, the top half is not, says the Mishnah Brura, that's only b'shas hadchak. But if not, it is not appropriate to say even a bracha like that, never mind Kriya Shema. Which is a very, very important halacha. And I'll tell you when this is extremely practical. You might think that this is never negeya. I'll tell you when it's extremely negeya, and that is when a person goes to the beach. A person goes to the beach and he goes into the water wearing his bathing costume, what we call in England his swimming trunks. Now he may not be therefore covered from his waist all the way to his head, besides for his yarmulke. He comes out of the water, he wants to sit down and have a drink. Is it appropriate to say shakel nevedvarim? So according to what the Mishnah Brura is saying over here, it is not appropriate. Lechatchila. Shasatchak, it's okay. It's difficult to get hold of his shirt, or it's not available, doesn't have one. But lechatchila, that is not the way that one should recite any davar shebekedusha, a bracha, kol shekein kriya shema. But that is only a din lechatchila. Me'ikar adin, it is okay. Why is it me'ikar adin okay? It says the Mishnah Brura Chof Gimel, muta likrois, kiven she'ervasai mechusa. Because at the end of the day, his erva is covered, number one. And number two, v'gam, in addition, hatalis mafsekes. The talis is being mafsik bein liboy le'erva. Remember, this was the second issue. We said there are two separate issues. Number one, is the erva visible to his eyes? Number two, is the erva visible to his lave? In our case, we do not have either issue. Neither can he see his erva with his eyes, neither can the lave see the erva, and therefore me'ikar adin, it is mutter, although lechatchila it's inappropriate. Chof Dalet, liboy, we said that when it comes to tefillah, he's got to cover his lave, says the Mishnah Brura, v'hu hadin kol gufoy. When it comes to davening, not only do you have to cover your lave, but you've actually got to cover your whole guf. So why did it only mention lave? The nokat liboy, the reason why the Shulchan Aruch mentioned only the lave, is because I did the reisha. Because in the reisha, the beginning of the Shulchan Aruch, with regard to the Kriya Shema, it says ein tzarich lechaseis liboy. So therefore over here, it also mentioned lave, but essentially, when a person davens, he has to be covered from head to toe in a normal manner. Why is that? The tam, the tefillah, chamura. The reason why tefillah is more chamur, this is what we saw in Rashi, lefisha b'tefillah, sorech lirois es atzmoi ka'oimid lifnei ha'melech. He's got to see himself as if standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the king, umedaber imoi, and he is talking to him. Shetzorich la'amoid be'eimo. He therefore got to stand in awe. Aber b'kriya shema eino medaber lefnei ha'melech. But with regard to kriya shema, he is not considered talking to the king, and therefore less stringent standards are required. Now, if you have a look briefly, look in the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tzadi Aleph 91, the very first Sif, and there we see the halacha mentioned once again. Tzadi Aleph, Sif Aleph, on page 247, says the Shulchan Aruch, Hoysa, now we're not talking about Kriyashma, here we're dealing with the halachas of Tefillah. Hoysa Talis Chagura al Mosnov, if the Talis is Chagura al Mosnov, lechasoysoi mi Mosnov ulamato, from his waist downwards, Asur lehispalel, it is not permitted to daven ad sheyechase liboy, until his lave has been covered, and as we just mentioned a moment ago, it's not just the lave. V'imloi kisoes liboi. Now here we're being taught an additional halacha. What happens if he did not cover his heart? He davened without doing so. Or v'imloi b'mayis kase. Or he doesn't have anything to cover his heart with. For some reason, he has no shirt available. Hoil the kisa ervasai the hispalel, seeing as the main thing is he has covered the erva, therefore yotza, he is yotza. So we're being taught a tremendous chiddush here in Shulchan Aruch. This we did not see in Siman Ayin Daled. This is the addition which appears over here, and that is that b'di'eved, it is not ma'akiv. B'di'eved, it is not ma'akiv. Okay, so those are the two dinim. We can now look back into the Gemara. So very, very important halachas, and as I mentioned, maybe the most practical ramification of this is when you're going to the beach. By the way, last night I was together with Rav Nosson Kopshitz, and I asked him two questions that we discussed a number of weeks ago. And these questions were raised by yourselves, and I asked him last night. If you remember, we spoke about the sugya of erva, and we spoke about tefach beisha erva. And if you remember, we spoke about the difficult scenario. You want to make kiddush in your house Friday night, you have a female guest who's inappropriately dressed. Her sleeves do not cover her elbows. Mamela, she has a part of the guf which is normally covered and should be covered, and it is not covered. It is also to say Dvarim Shebe Kedusha in her presence. Me'ikar Adin, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to turn away completely. The Mishnah Berurah says, one can rely b'shas hadchak on closing one's eyes. If there's a real erva there, then closing eyes doesn't help. You've got to completely turn your whole guf. But if it's not a real erva, it's just tefach be'isho erva, so the Mishnah Berurah says, l'chatchila, you've got to turn your guf away, but d'yevet, at least close your eyes. So if you remember, there were two very important questions that were raised. Number one, what happens if I do not turn away? And as we can all imagine, that under ordinary circumstances, it's very embarrassing or awkward to suddenly turn away from the guest, especially if she's standing right next to me. So I want to close my eyes, but if I close my eyes, I won't be able to say kiddush because I don't know it off by heart. I want to look in the bencher. So the question is, if I'm looking in my bench inside my siddur, I'm looking downwards, she might be standing right opposite me. So I have not turned away, I cannot turn away, but neither can I close my eyes. So a question was raised, but is that sufficient? Is that as good as closing one's eyes? Because at the end of the day, you cannot see her. So he told me, Rav Nosson Kopshitz, in the name of the Chazon Ish, that would be sufficient. But he said it's a chiddush. He said you have to know it's a chiddush. Why is it a chiddush? Because at the end of the day, your eyes are not closed, and therefore any second you could just look upward by mistake. When your eyes are closed, they're closed. Here they're not. But at the end of the day, the Chazon Ish was matir. So that's a very, very important halacha we need to know. You have somebody inappropriately dressed in your presence, and you want to say kiddush or you want to say a bracha, look downwards. Lechatchila, one should try and turn away completely. If it's not possible, either close one's eyes or one could look downwards. The other shaila that I asked him, and this was also a shaila that was raised when we learned this sugya, is what happens if she's sitting there at the table, not standing, she's sitting, and her feet or her legs are not appropriately covered, but they are tucked under the table. So over here, I have not turned away, and I have not closed my eyes either, but that part of the goof, which is inappropriately addressed, is concealed from me because she's got her legs tucked under the table. So Rambam told me that would be fine. In fact, he said that's even better than closing one's eyes. Because under the table, it's considered, as it were, in a different rishus, a different domain, as a mechitza. So for that would definitely be okay. But then he said to me, sorry.
I saw all of us at the Grav by showing up for mincha the other day.
Why?
Yeah, I don't know. He just walked in and he davened mincha by us.
Oh, Rav Nosson did?
Yeah, he was apparently in the neighborhood and he needed a place to go for mincha. He came to the Grav.
Okay.
We were all surprised to see him.
Yeah, there's a chus of davening with a Talmud Chacham and a Kohen. He did, however, say to me, I guess he must have thought that I was asking these shailas because they were practical shailas. He said to me, but you know, he said, you should try and avoid inviting these people. I said, I'm just asking theoretically. But obviously, to lechatchila invite people who are inappropriately dressed is indeed not lechatchila. Where this is very commonly asked is, of course, as you can imagine, people who are involved in kiruv rechokim, doing kiruv with balei tshuva. So it might be you have people who are fresh, relatively new onto the scene. In fact, I saw last night, I looked around a little bit, this is very negeya when you have these big seminars, right? Imagine they bring a magid shir to give a Shabbaton lecture to a group of potential balei tshuva in the height of summer. The chances are there will be people in the audience there, women who are inappropriately dressed. Well, how can you, never mind, look at them, but even if you don't, how can you say psukim? How can you say divrei Torah in their presence? This is a very, very commonly asked question. But either way, with regard to us, the more likely scenario is you have a guest at home. So yes, either look downwards or better still, if that part of a goof is tucked under the table, then you'll definitely be fine. Okay, back to our Gemara, top of Daf Chof Heyamad Aleph. V'omar Rav Huna. Now, why does it say V'omar Rav Huna? Because the first statement was also in the name of Rav Huna. So this is V'omar Rav Yehuda. Another statement in the name of Rav Huna. What did he say? Shochach v'nichnas b'tfilin lebeis hakise. What happens if somebody forgot? We learned this sugya at great length. Lechatchila, one should not bring tfilin into the beis hakise. But what happens if b'dyebet he brought his tefillin into the beis hakiseh? He actually begins relieving himself, and he remembers, one second, I'm wearing tefillin. Says the Gemara, maniach yodoy aleihen. He should place his hand on the tefillin to cover them. Ad sheyigmor. What does that mean, ad sheyigmar? So literally translated, until he's completely finished. Now that sounds a little bit strange. Why does that sound strange? Because the question must be asked, shouldn't we tell him, instead of completing whatever he has to do, shouldn't he try to stop in the middle, take off his tefillin outside, and then come back in? Why is Rav Huna allowing him to complete his needs? Ad sheyigmor. And that's what the Gemara asks immediately. Ad sheyigmor salka datach? Question mark. Do you really think that should be taken literally, ad sheyigmor, until he completely finishes tending to his needs? Why should that be permitted? Says the Gemara, Elo, you're right. It doesn't mean until he completely finishes. Elo k'do omar of Nachman by Yitzchok, ad sheyigmoir omud rishoin, until he finishes the first omud. Now, what does that mean? So we're going to see in the Hemshech of the Gemara, we've discussed this in the past. Whenever we talk about somebody who's in the Beis HaKisei, we always need to differentiate between, is he relieving himself, what we call Gedoylim, that's Tzoya, or is it Ketano, Ketanim Meiraglayim? Now, a person may need to tend to his Tzrochim, and it could take time. But as we know, it comes, as it were, in waves, whether it's Gedoylim or Ketanim. Says the Gemara, when we say that he should cover his tefillin ad sheyigmoir, we do not mean until he finishes in entirety, but rather until he finishes this particular wave. That means he feels the urge either to release some gedolim or some ketanim, then that particular gedolim or ketanim should be released. And that is what we're allowing him, not more than that. So yes, ad sheyigmor does not mean until he finishes absolutely entirely, but until he finishes that omud. That's what it means, that omud. And the Gemara explains a little bit more.
Well, are we talking about covering the shel yad or the shel rosh?
The shel rosh, I think. Now, the Gemara asks, V'lifsoik la'alta, why does he even have to? Why is he allowed to finish even the first part? Why can't he stop straight away? V'leikum, and to stand up? Question mark. You're telling me that we cannot allow him to stay there until the absolute end. But he is allowed to stay there for a while until the end of this particular wave. Why even that long? Why would we not say that as soon as he remembers that he's wearing tefillin, he should stop there and then and stand up and leave the Beis HaKisei? Says the Gemara that no, that's unhealthy. The answer is Mishum de Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Because Rav Shimon Gamliel, what did Rav Shimon Gamliel say? Tanya, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, Oyma. Rav Shimon Gamliel taught us the following in a braisa. Omud. Omud, we said, is the first wave of Gedolim. Hachoizer. What does it mean, Hachoizer? If it's brought back, a person feels the urge to release Gedolim. And if you tell him, stop, there and then, and hold it in, that's what it means, chayzeh, is being brought back, then that's very unhealthy. Maybe es ha'odom, that could bring a person lidei hadroikon. We'll see in a minute, hadroikon is a disease of the stomach. Siloin ha'chayzeh, what is siloin? Siloin is not the first wave of Gedolim, but the first wave of Ketanim. Again, if he feels the urge to release it and you're going to tell him no, stop and hold it in, it's also unhealthy. Maybe es ha'odom lidei yarkoin. That will bring a person to a different disease called yarkoin, says Rashi. On the second wide line, hadroikon, choyli. Hamatsevo esakeres. It is a illness which strikes the stomach. Siloin shomei raglayim. That will bring a different disease. Yarkoin. Choyli, a different disease. Sheshmoi galnitsa. So either way, the Gemara says, therefore, we do not have this particular option. Yes, essentially, out of kavod for the tefillin, we would love to have paskim that as soon as you're a member, you should stop there and then. But you can't. Why can't you? Because it's dangerous, either with regard to gedolim or ketanim. And therefore, that's why we take the middle level. On the one hand, we do not tell him to stop immediately. On the other hand, we do not allow him to complete in entirety, rather somewhere in the middle. Finish this first omud, because it's dangerous to keep it back in. That can bring about disease. And after that, you have to get up and leave, take off your tefillin and come back. Okay, we have time for a bit more Gemara. Yes, we do. Says the Gemara, Itmar. Soyo al besoroi. So we have discussed at great length sugyas about seeing erva or about seeing tsoyo. Here you have tsoyo on his flesh underneath his beged, which, by the way, again, is extremely negeya halacha lemaisa. Somebody who needed to go to the bathroom and only became aware afterwards that he did not clean himself properly. So he might well have tsoyo al basari. Or a different case, yodoi munachas bebei sakisei. Or what happens if he stuck out his hand into the Beis HaKisei? So you have the Beis HaKisei. He himself did not enter. If he did enter, and obviously he cannot recite Kriya Shema afterwards, he's got to wash his hands, etc., etc. But what happens if he did not enter? He just stuck his hands into the bathroom. So we're discussing two cases. Either there is tsoya on the basal, or his hand entered the bathroom, but not his guf. Says the Gemara, Machlekes. Rav Huna Omar Muta Likrois Krishma. And Rav Chista Omar Osir Likrois Krishma. There is a Machlekes about whether you're allowed to recite Krishma in a situation like this. Either way, he has tsoya on his bosa, or when he stuck his hand into a bathroom. What's the Machlekes? Says the Gemara, Omar of Amai, time with Rav Huna. Why does Rav Huna say that it is muta to recite Kriya Shema? What's the reason? Says the Gemara, my time, Omar of my time, the Rav Huna, the Ksiv, because it says, Kol Hanashoma Tahalel Ko. How do we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu? With a Neshoma. What does that mean, Neshoma? So Rashi says the Neshoma, or the word Neshima, breathing, refers to the mouth and the nose, or the head, the forehead. Which means the fact that there is another area of the guf where there is tsoyo there, or the fact that there's another area of the guf which has entered the Beis HaKisei, doesn't matter. That's not the part of the guf which is involved, as it were, in davening. It's kol haneshama. So that's why it's either tsoyo azol basari or his hand enter the bathroom, it's no problem. So the question now becomes, Rav Chista. So why does Rav Chista disagree? Rav Chista, Omar, Osterik, Rekriya Shema, my timer. To Rav Chista, Tiksiv, Kol, Atzmoisai, Toimarno, Hashemicho, Moicho. With all my bones, I speak to Hashem. In other words, he says, it's not true to say that merely the mouth and the head are involved. Rather, it's the whole goof. Therefore, if you brought your hand into the bathroom, your hand is also included in kolatz moisai, and mele will be also to say krishma. So machloikas, kolana shoma or kolatz moisai. A machloikas in Rav Huna and Rav Chista. We won't be able to see now, but we'll see next time. How do we pass kanal locha? Have a look at Rashi. on the fourth line. Yodai b'beis hakisei mechitza yesh beinoi lebein beis hakisei. He has some sort of barrier and a door between himself and the beis hakisei. However, uposhat yodov, but he stretched out his hand lifnim min hamechitza, inside of the mechitza. So he did not enter the bathroom. He's standing on the other side of the mechitza, but he did put his hand in. Again, this will be very, very negel halacha, Rabbi Yisai. If you go up to the bathroom, you don't enter it, but you just put your hand in to take your tissue out, for example. Can you say brachas and kriya shma afterwards? Says Rashi, one more Rashi. Kol ha-neshama, ha-peh v'ha-choytem, it is the mouth and the face. Bichlal ha-hilul. That's what's included in praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but v'loi shar evarim, but not other limbs of the body. And therefore, the fact that there's tsoya on the bosa, the fact that there is, he put his hand in the bathroom, is of no consequence. The second opinion says it's not true. It says, kolatz voisai tegmarana, all my bones, my entire goof is involved. And mela, it would be a problem. So how we paskal halacha, have a look at the Tosfos on the previous page, and we'll see you next time. We're going to hold it over here, but maybe we should learn tomorrow morning. Does Thursday tomorrow morning work out for anybody? Yeah?
It's a problem for me.
For everybody else it works out, though? Just that we missed so much this week. So, okay, so let's provisionally schedule for tomorrow at normal time, 8:45 session. It'll be recorded, Bez Hashem.
Thank you.
Okay, all the best.